Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, August 11th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Holy cow, I've fallen into a pot of jam. Gorgeous and talented Seattle women surround me.
Is this a coincidence or what?
No coincidence. Monday, I posted the first part of my conversation with the artistic knockout, Jessie Bell Jones. Today, the equally stunning and gifted Sophia Skye joins me for some of her top-notch sex wisdom. This podcast series, as you recall, brings us conversations with movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. Researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers, all who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. And Sophia fits that bill beautifully.
You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut.
That is so true. I totally agree. That's why I don't have chowderheads on this show. But Sophia is different. Teaching, bodies, BDSM, art, and performing are among her passions, and she selflessly offers us her insights and acumen in the most charming and disarming manner. You're going to love this, my friends, but I must warn you, Ginger the dog provides the distracting sound effects today. She apparently couldn't get enough of Sophia, and who could blame her? And oh, be sure to check out the accompanying slideshow of my luscious guest at work and play. It sizzles.
You want to take a shower?
Maybe a little bit later. Sophia invites you to visit her in her den of iniquity, dynamicload.blogspot.com. Today's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Papaya Toys. You know, I've been involved in all sorts of cutting-edge sex education and sexual enrichment projects over the past 30 years. That's why I was so delighted when the makers of Papaya Toys invited me to assist them in designing and developing and promoting their superior quality toys that are taking the adult toy market by storm. You can have the utmost confidence that all the wonderfully fun and playful Papaya Toys are made of the highest quality materials. That's 100% medical grade silicone, to be precise. They are German engineered to bring you maximum pleasure, and they will help arouse in you your full sexual potential.
I had no idea those beer cans were going to blow like that.
Papaya Toys are the perfect companions for your private intimate moments, or you can share them with a partner. Either way, you will rediscover passion and have a load of fun doing so. Look for their dazzling banner in the sidebar of my site. Okay, on with the show. Sophia Skye, you finally made it to DrDickSexAdvice.com. Holy cow, I was getting tired of holding my breath for you to show up. I've been dying to meet you and chat with you for ages. And so now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, nice people.
And you'd better at least acknowledge all the perverts out there too, because a lot of those kinky folks listening in are our friends. And you know how they get when they feel slighted. They get real mean.
Oh, they're nice people too. I included them in the first hello.
Good, good, good. So you are doing so many interesting things, I hardly know where to begin our conversation. To give our audience a little taste of one of your days, you tweeted recently, two massages, prep for an 808 class, and assisting with a photo shoot. And that's just before lunch.
Well, the photo shoot was after lunch, but yes, that was a very full day.
Goodness. So I'd really like to get to know you, because I know a lot about you from other people and reading around your website and Dynamic Shenanigans, which is at dynamicload.blogspot.com. And it has a subtitle, Wherein Your Silly Heroine Muses on Teaching
bodies, BDSM, art, performing, and whatever else lodges itself in her noggin. That's fun.
I like to think it's fun.
Did you think of that all by yourself?
Yes, I did, because I'm all grown up.
Well, that makes one of us. So
those subtitles always make me so nervous because I tried to think of, okay, they need to know what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I can't decide on just one thing or a couple of things to figure out to talk about.
Right. And it's good that you don't lock yourself in, because what if you launch into something that, you know, like I'm always afraid to, you know, do political kinds of stuff on Dr. Dick, although God knows I would love to from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So that actually was what caught my eye when one of our mutual friends turned me on to you, was that you are, you know, have this really breadth of interest, and you seem to revel in it as well.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't, if I had to pick just one thing to settle on, it would be painful and I'd probably die of indecision first. I enjoy being able to flip between different activities.
So you also say about yourself, pervocacious, is that a good word? That's a good word. A strong and playful switch who is busy exploring life. Once upon a time, I was a teacher at a vocational school, and now I am using my powers for good to educate in the kink community. Let's take that apart a little bit. Pervocacious.
Pervocations means willful, obstinate.
Really? Does it really?
Yes.
I thought it had something to do with pervy.
No. But this is part of why I like it so much, though. It's like a stealth perv thing. I get dictionary.com's word of the day.
Word of the day.
And I'm an absolute word geek.
Oh,
and
is that right?
So when that one came through a couple of years ago, I latched onto it.
Oh, my goodness. I guess so. And strong and playful switch. I seem to know what switch means, but maybe some in our audience don't.
Switch is a term often used for someone who does not confine themselves to one role in BDSM.
Right.
I both top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes to the same people, sometimes not.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, good, good, good. So I want to really spend some time on that.
Sure.
In a bit, but right now I'm going to ask some questions about you, because as I said, I'm dying to get to know you a little bit better. I'm going to guess that Sophia Sky isn't your is your nom de smut, as it were. Am I right on that?
Yes, you are. Well, the first half of my name is my name is Sophia.
Get out.
My last name is distinctive, hard to pronounce, and very ethnic. So,
is that right?
So Sky is an old internet name. When I decided to, I'm going to be a person instead of a cartoon character online, to let people know who, you know, people who only knew Sky, I just tacked on my first name.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing for those of us who have been around for some time, because a lot of us had internet names before they were fashionable to be ourselves, but or, you know, like there's no distinction between Dr. Dick and Richard Wagner, but a lot of people only know me as Dr. Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And if I introduce myself as Richard Wagner, that's nice.
They'd be like, okay, who are you? What are you?
And
what do you do for your work?
Exactly. And then I can clear a room when I answer.
Oh, no. You filter a room.
No, it looks clear. It sure does look clear afterwards. But, you know, I don't know. So how did you become Sophia Sky? Just because you used the Sky before in as like an avatar? Or?
Yeah, just as a... When I first got online... it was terribly scary. There were all these people out there. I'm sure that they were, you know, half of them were axe murderers, just looking for their next victim.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually dated someone that I met online, and for the first 6 months, he didn't know my name. He only knew Sky.
Really?
It was one of those, you know, and I'm using dating as the term loosely, you know, we interneted, chatted sexy with each other and met a couple of times, you know, here and there. And Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is that since we have so many friends in common, or know so many people in common.
Quite a few, actually.
Yes, it's so true. And everybody has a different name, know. Mm-hmm. And
that's the other reason. It was like, you know, I just, one name. My partner, my main squeeze, rather, is one of the founders of the Wet Spot.
Is that right?
And he actually had to start going by just one name because some people were saying, well, so-and-so said this. Well, so-and-so said that. And it was the same so-and-so
right.
they were referring to.
Right, 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 right.
And so he finally was just like, that's it.
Yeah.
This is my name. Everybody stop using the other one. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, I don't know, you know, their real names often.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I'm interacting and people say, oh, you know, so-and-so said this, and I go, oh, who's that?
Oh, you know him.
Oh. And yeah. Then, you know, when people are trying to describe who they're dating and who they're squeezing and who they're getting whipped by or whipping or who they're tying up or being tied up by, and you know, if they don't mesh, then I'm clueless because mm-hmm. I'm
just figure
along those lines.
I just figure, you know, it might not be someone I know, it might be someone I know. I should just be polite and then everything will work out fine. And then when I see him in person, I can connect the dots inside
right,
my
right,
head
right.
and go, oh
you must. So anyhow, so let's talk about your one of your main passions, which is teaching. What kinds of classes do you offer?
All the classes that I teach have a bent around anatomy,
is
or
right?
the body, or body mechanics, biomechanics,
mm-hmm.
Anything that can give background to what it is that we do
mm-hmm.
in the kink realm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do any real technique classes.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been, you know, I've been playing around with kink and tying people up since I was 17, but that doesn't count. You know, when you're just tying somebody to the bedpost, it doesn't, it's valid, it's fun, but it's not something that you base a reputation or curriculum
yeah,
by.
Yeah.
So I've only been, you know, I kind of counter when I first got brave and went to my first workshop, which was only like 7 years ago,
uh-huh.
6 years ago. And then I started learning things, started tying mm-hmm. people up more on a regular basis, and started doing more training on things like suspension. So I actually get people coming up to me going, oh, I'd love to take one of your rope workshops. And no, no, you see that guy Max over there, or you see that guy Jim Duval over there, those are the people you want to
yeah.
talk to.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, your background, how did you hit upon anatomy and physiology as something that you wanted to bring to the community?
18 years ago, I started massage school.
Get out!
And I was just fascinated by bodies. Absolutely fascinated.
Yeah.
And
they're amazing, are they not?
Yep. And it was so exciting learning about everything. After I graduated massage school, I went back and I was a teaching assistant, and then a couple years later, I started teaching full-time. And so I taught at a local massage school for 6 years.
Is that right?
And I did just about everything except the true anatomy and physiology class. They they reserved that for the people who actually had the little PhD behind their name
right.
to do that. Although I did all the muscle anatomy classes, the kinesiology classes, and it was just awesome. Having that opportunity to give someone that aha moment where their eyes kind of pop open and their mouth kind of drops a little bit and they go, oh, that's what I live for.
Yeah. I also do massage and body work and have done for years and years and years. In fact, I never thought that I would actually do kind of hands-on kind of stuff myself, thinking that, well, you know, I would be teaching folks, mostly couples,
mm-hmm.
through my sex therapy workshops and stuff like that about how to touch seductively or how not to touch seductively.
Right, intention is so important.
Exactly. And because a lot of clients, I'm sure that you see this as well, you know, any kind of touch is an invitation for sex, or that's, I only know how to touch you if I'm, you know, horny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting kind of thing. And then over the years, my practice focused on almost exclusively to death and dying work that I was liked very much. And found what I was very good at, and I found myself doing a lot of therapeutic touch with, you know, sick and dying people and their friends and partners and blah, blah, blah. And so I got another accreditation, I don't know, about 15 years ago or so, and if not longer, and have been doing it independently, and I love it. I really do.
It's amazing work,
yeah.
And our culture is so incredibly touch-deprived.
It's so true.
I work, not only do I have my... like the rehabilitation massage that I like to do,
mm-hmm.
but I also work at a day spa, and I have people who come in and they have, I don't want to say excuses, because being touched just for touching's sake is thoroughly important, but they think they need an excuse to come
and
get touched.
It's true. They feel they do.
It's amazing. And I do a type of massage based on Watsu, which is a type of body work in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've adapted it a little bit to make it, you know, incorporate more Western massage. That
right.
is my background.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is that there's body contact. You're
yeah.
cradling somebody in their
right.
arms.
Right.
And that is the most
yeah.
powerful modality I have
yeah.
in my tool belt.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean, people, you know, open up their, you know, I've been working on someone's back, and you know, they just launch into this wailing, weeping, and it wasn't because I was doing anything wrong. It freed up something
mm-hmm.
inside of them that allowed them to process, you know, some emotion. And,
yeah.
you know, they're embarrassed by it. And the first time it happened, it, you know, I was also embarrassed. And, oh, my
You're
goodness.
Like, what did I do to you? I didn't do anything, I swear.
Right. And, you know, I mean, people hold grief and sadness and, you know. And
all sorts of emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really wonderful release, both literally and figuratively. So it's a great thing. So let's talk a little bit about some of your classes. One that caught my eye was Anatomy 101 for BDSM, Parts 1 and 2.
Yes, I actually am going to have to... I think I'm going to change the name of it.
Is
I think
that
I'm
right?
just going to change it to kink. Because everything that I talk about in there is applicable no matter what you're into, even if it doesn't have any
right.
pain or bondage right. or dominance in it
yeah.
at all. And that one is my most favorite one because it's a nice big overview.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many misconceptions that people have about their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much, I use misconceptions purposefully because the misinformation is not always completely incorrect.
Right.
But just some ideas, like I always in the class, everybody always talks about don't flog over the kidneys, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people don't even know exactly where the kidneys are.
I know.
So
are they
it's like,
here?
Yeah.
Or are they here?
So every time I teach that class, I say, okay, so here's my demo bottom up here. You know, where do you think the kidneys are? And they come, and they are always off. You know, sometimes by just a little bit, sometimes by, nope, that's about where you have it starting is where it ends.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that, you know, just to pick up on something that you said a little while ago, was that I know a lot of people give classes in, you know, like bondage and other BDSM kinds of stuff and fetishy things, and they're assuming that a lot of the people in their classes already know a great deal about anatomy and physiology, and that is definitely not the case.
Actually, I disagree. I think
is that,
that
right?
they don't think that people know it because
is
they don't
right?
know it either.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think they just gloss over it because this is your hand, this is your arm, this is your elbow. And there's something in the upper arm you have to be careful of
oh,
when
right.
you tie people up with rope over the top of their arms. I think it's not so much an assumption, just a, well,
right.
I don't know it, it must not be important.
Right.
And I don't.
And if I've gotten along without it, then...
Then it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it certainly does make a great deal of difference, because
mm-hmm.
if you do place rope wrongly, that can be deleterious. Yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And it can be something as simple as, you know, just not good pain in the moment, or
yeah.
it could be something as serious as, you know, having a nerve injury that takes
yeah.
weeks or months to heal.
Right.
And I should rephrase, there are actually a lot of teachers that do know a lot about anatomy
mm-hmm.
in what they do in as BDSM practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they have the depth of knowledge
right.
as they can say, be careful here, but they can't tell you why.
Right.
I should take that back. They do know. They just, they have a, you know, a very surface. And some of them have a very, you know, have a more in-depth knowledge.
Right.
And they, and those are the instructors that do bring it up in asides in their right. classes. I just, at this moment in time, there aren't a lot of people that actually focus on the anatomy
yeah.
of something.
Yeah.
So I'll fill that role.
Tell us about Head Games anatomy for edge play with head and neck.
That's a really fun class. That's probably the closest I get to actually teaching how to do awful things to people.
Uh-huh. With a smile.
Just a little embarrassed still. There's a little part of me that, that likes the naughtiness factor of kink. So, you know, I don't want to fully get comfortable with what I do. So I'll just be a little embarrassed every now and then.
Okay, excellent.
That is a really fun class in this, in that I focus a lot on where structures are in the head and neck, of what to be careful of, what to exploit, how to exploit it. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a salivary gland that's on top of the master muscles in front of the ear that if you massage it gently, it produces more saliva.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have somebody with a gag in and you happen to think that drool is really sexy, you can kind of hasten that process.
Kidding.
You don't have to wait.
Secrets.
Yes, little fun secrets like that. Mm-hmm. I had someone who I later found was a pornographer, and so he was sitting in my class, and when I said that, I mean, he just perked right up, sat up a little straighter, and his eyes got real big, and he looked so excited, and I found out later, as a pornographer,
right.
he wouldn't have to wait. Yeah, he wouldn't have to wait.
Right.
By doing that little trick, I just saved him money because he didn't have to wait 5 minutes for enough drool to accumulate to be a really good photo opportunity.
Right. Interesting.
I felt very proud of that.
and head and neck is a really, you know, sensitive place.
We are so poorly designed
when
it comes to the head and neck.
Yeah.
Poorly designed in the sense that you can't play with it rough, but it's one of our most exposed parts of our body.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I remember that from, you know, massage school myself, is that, you know, that was the thing that I also was most tentative about when I was touching someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therapeutically.
Oh, yeah. Especially
like,
going into
doing it right?
You know, but the cool things that you learned, see, this is what I mean about using my powers. Actually, it should say I've been using my powers for evil, but I figure if that's going to be out in the world, I want it to not say evil on my bio. Is I actually take a bunch of the stuff that I learned in massage school.
Yeah.
So the part where you push the trachea out of the way to massage the muscles underneath it on the front of the spine, I always demonstrate that. I tell them that if they're brave and they want to try it out, they can go real slow. But most everybody in the class does it on themselves, and then, you know, they get this grossed out look on their face, and it's awesome.
It's so true. How about genital anatomy for pleasure and fun? I was just one thing I was just mentioning to somebody else the other day that, you know, for the most part, women are completely unfamiliar with their genital anatomy. I mean, guys have it lucky because it's like sticking out all the time, and, you know,
or at least most of it is sticking out.
Yeah, exactly the point. And this is a big thing, right?
This is a huge thing. I'm really excited about this class. This is the first time I'll be doing it.
Is that
be
right?
August 8th.
Oh, this is the 8th. Oh, good.
This is the one.
So
yeah.
Tell us about it.
This one is going to focus on the internal and external genital anatomy. And I have been doing a whole bunch of talking and with people who identify as intersexed or transsexuals as well, so that this is about everybody's bits.
Right.
And the reason I started looking at this class was is I was seeing a whole bunch of misinformation and off information. I hate the term female prostate because there is a prostate in women just like there's a prostate in men. It's totally analogous.
Yes, exactly.
But people are like, oh, the female prostate. No, it's the prostate. Everybody has a prostate. Some people's really small, some people's are big, some people's work really well.
Others not so good.
In men and women. And the idea that, wow, this is all the same tissue. It's just apportioned differently in each of us. And not only in the sense that, you know, her labia, her inner labia are really small and barely there, and her inner labia, my, you know, it's a misnomer that it's a, that it's minora.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's so much longer and more visible than the labia majora.
Right.
It's more than that. Mm-hmm. It goes across the, across genders.
Right.
And I'm really excited to be able to show people, okay, this is why it's not scary if you're presented with something out of the norm for you.
Right.
Is that you can go, okay, this equals to this, this equals to this, and then there's a continuum in there.
Right. And, you know, very few people understand that all fetuses initially are female fetuses. And that only with the introduction of the male
testosterone
hormone.
Testosterone and androgen,
and
yeah.
And that transfigures the female.
There's an interesting thing that I've been doing. I'm totally geeking out on this.
Well, actually.
And one of the, I believe it's the newest edition of the Good Vibrations Handbook, which is fabulous,
yes.
By the way. And it talks about the I want to say tracks. I'm blanking on the fancy Latin names, but there are actually two tracks to the genitals, and one turns into uterus and vagina, the other one turns into vas deferens and testicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating how it's like, okay, we actually have both. We're preset.
Right. Exactly.
And with the introduction of testosterone, one develops and the other dissolves away. Without the testosterone, the one that the testosterone develops goes away.
That's right.
It's fascinating that we're all intersex in the beginning.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that there's a vast number of people who don't come out or don't mature into either male or female. And so many of us have this preconceived ideas that it's this, you know, binary system, man woman, boy girl, and it's not like that at all.
Not at
and
all.
We're on a huge spectrum, it seems to me. And you know, I had a wonderful chat with Mistress Matisse not too long ago about this very thing, about, you know, this binary thinking that gets us into trouble all the time.
That's very true.
Cool.
I will agree with that.
Right. Another one of your classes is using the senses in BDSM play. Tell us about that.
That's a real fun class. I break down, and actually I co-teach this one with my partner Jim Duval, is where we break down sight, touch, scent, smell, and taste, and go through all the different ways that you can incorporate them in various scenes so that it creates a more richer tapestry towards your scenes. And I actually go through the physiological mechanics of each one.
Oh, cool.
The scent one is my favorite one
I'll
to work
bet.
With because I'm an aromatherapist, and so I've been playing with smells for years. And also the concept that our olfactory nerve, when information goes into the olfactory nerve and goes to our brain, it bypasses the part of our brain that says, okay, you information go here, you go here. It totally bypasses that clearinghouse.
No kidding.
Directly into our memories, directly into our instinctive reaction centers.
Yeah.
So
it's true, because I, you know, there are scents from my childhood, like my grandmother baking bread, and now when I smell, you know,
fresh
that
bread,
smell, it's just
it
like
takes you right back.
Just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, without stopping it, go.
Yep.
Or collecting $200. it's really, so would you say that there is a, like, a scent of fear, a scent of anticipation, a scent of, you know, erotic, you know, things to come? I mean, is that, could you speculate about that kind of stuff?
You know, I've had people say that they can smell fear.
Yes.
They can smell victory. They can I can definitely smell arousal.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And on everybody it's a little bit different.
Yes.
But you can anchor smells to certain experiences,
mm-hmm.
which can be really exciting.
Right.
Whenever I perform, I always wear the same scent. And I have one person that I perform with, and he has a lot of energy. He needs someone to ground him. And so we breathe together, and
mm-hmm.
he breathes in I always put the scent in my hair. He breathes, and he's like, ah, you smell good. And it's almost become like this little thing that grounds us out and connects us, and then off we go running. So you can do things like that. I've also
mm-hmm.
done really nefarious things.
you don't say.
Well, my partner, he actually teaches, Jim Duvall teaches classes on rape and abduction play.
Uh-huh.
That's his favorite little thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And he prefers to do it with strangers because
right.
he likes that fear.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, he had a chance to set something up on a regular basis with a woman who
mm-hmm.
would come to town once a month for business.
Mm-hmm.
And she would give him the idea was, I'll give you my work schedule, I'll stick to it so that you know when I have to be at work, so
no
that you don't
kidding.
Mess with me, you know, plenty of time so that I can recover before that. And then he would get to sneak up on her. He got keys to her house. The one thing that he was really worried about was the fear of becoming less because it would become routine. Oh, the mean man is here to rape me again.
Stop! Don't stop.
So I said, you can do something about that. I said, what we can do is I can make you a smell and you can wear it. And then when that first rush, that first experience that will be unexpected and will be
mm-hmm.
scary and, you know, the height of all those emotions
yes.
the first time it happens will be connected to that scent. The next time she comes back, you wear the scent again, it triggers those same fear,
right,
terror,
right, right.
you know, unexpected surprise.
Right.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It was to the point that by the time they had seen each other too many times was about 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at the point where she once came into the room where his shaving kit was unzipped and open. And she walked into the room, started talking to me, froze, and said, I can smell it. And she was just shaking, and I had to go over there. I had to ziplock the baggie and close up the shaving kit. And then, you know, it took a few minutes, and
yeah.
then she settled down. But it
right.
was, it
yeah.
bypasses your rational mind
right.
and goes straight to your instinct.
Right.
Smells do.
Right.
So.
And some people say the same thing about visuals. I mean, if
mm-hmm.
you know, if I see something like, you know, leather or a hood or an implement and stuff like that, it's anticipatory.
Right.
You know, I see that again in massage and bodywork. You must also, you know,
mm-hmm.
people will anticipate, you know, what we're going to do next or, you know, how we're going to move the body and how we're going to touch. And, you know, they're like, I said, well, just let it
yeah,
go. You
that's
are.
Very
this is
true.
Not you. This is
mm-hmm.
not about you, other than receiving. And
right.
You're gonna have a much better experience if you just let it happen.
Yeah, and there's still that thought and that anticipation.
Yeah.
That's why some people. The second biggest memory trigger after scent is sound.
Mm.
So having on the same quiet music every time, having the same incense burning, are all things that are gonna trigger somebody to not anticipate and just actually go to
no
relaxing.
Well, there you have it.
Yep, fun stuff.
So let me ask you one more. Processing pain as a team.
Oh, that's a fun
of course
class.
It is here.
that actually class came about by accident. During one of his classes, years ago, he had a partner, and he was at the end of the class. Everything had been going swimmingly to the point where nobody had any questions, and so he was a little strapped, you know, like, oh, I have 10 more minutes to fill. Okay. So he did a bondage demo, and he just, you know, so how are you doing in that? And she just started doing stream of consciousness verbalizing on how she was processing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and I incorporated that in his rope for sadist and masochist class,
mm-hmm.
where a good portion of it is where he'll do something and I'll say how that changes my experience.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we turned it into, okay, this whole class is about, he takes people through a guided meditation, basically group hypnosis in how to process pain.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you want to, get rid of it or control it or minimize it. Mm-hmm. And then we go through, okay, how do you disrupt their process of processing pain? Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, and then talked about the different ways that you can talk about pain in a way that really communicates what's going on so that the top can decide, okay, this is something that's damaging and harmful, and this is something that's uncomfortable and really fabulous that I'm right. making them suffer through.
Right. Interesting. I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today, and I'm just getting started. I've got my pain.
I'm sorry I talk so much.
But I like it. I like it. So I'm going to have to insist that you come back again next week, because if you don't, I'm going to cry and cry.
Oh, we don't want that.
Yes, you do.
Well, no, not those kinds of tears.
Alrighty, but before we go, and you promised to come back, so before we go, okay, would you give us your website address and walk us around a bit before, so that we can visit you in cyberspace during the week?
Fabulous. I would love to. My website is my blog. It's me, dynamicload.blogspot.com. And you can also find me for the kinky folk that are on FetLife. You can just search for Sophia Sky, mm-hmm. all one word. Those are the two main places that you can keep track of me. And I post all about when my classes are and
oh, cool.
make silly comments and argue about knots and ropes.
Yeah. Excellent. Good, good. So until next time, we will be seeing you
okay.
in cyberspace. Be well.
Thank you. See you soon.
Hey, what a great show, huh? Well, tune in next week for part two of my interview with Sophia Sky and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
You're not a very tolerant person.
That's not true. I let you in the audience. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Papaya Toys. At Papaya Toys, being eco-friendly is not just a slogan. It's their business. Every step of the manufacturing and packaging process is scrutinized to see how best they can limit their impact on the environment. How many other sex toy companies can say that? And their zeal for perfection delivers high-quality fun products at an affordable price. For Papaya Toys, quality means attending to every detail in every aspect of product development, from selecting high-grade materials to collaborating with progressive manufacturing partners, from superior customer service to consumer education. Be the first one on your block to be a proud owner of a Papaya Toy. Look for their banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. One final thing, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products.
God, you're a tight ass.
No, all our reviews are quite fair. In fact, you'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, including our Papaya Toys reviews, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, herbal products, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.